Yes. Maybe. I can't put it in me to think that Linda the wife or Linda the sister who takes care of those beautiful children and brought, what did he do? I'll say it again. You can't outsmart it. You can't outmoney it. You can't outrun it. And by the way, some people just run. If the darkness creeps, they run. By the way, the darkness is about you, not about running. I actually heard a preacher say this as a joke. Maybe the joke will work for you. It was funny to me when he said it. I can't do it like he did. He was an old geezer. I resemble that. He was an old man, and he said this. I heard that 97% of people who die, die in bed. I decided never to go to bed again. I sleep setting up. I got a question for you. Do you think he outrun it? Now, I want to say this, no criticism, because I hope you know that I actually like you. You can't out-young it either. Oh, that's what happens to old people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, there is no, by the way, the darkness comes to us all. You don't outrun it. You don't out-youth it. You don't out-money it. You don't outsmart it. And I want to say this, if you have Arminian leanings, and if you don't know the word, look at me. You think you can do some things to manipulate God. There are people that think if I just give enough or give more, if I just go enough or go more, if I just pray enough or pray more, if I just serve enough or serve more, if I just do enough, somehow I can control. No, the whole point is, Isaiah puts his arm around us. He says, are you that group that know the Lord, that fear the Lord? Are you that group that obey? You're trying to do what's right, but you still walk in darkness, have no light. You see, the darkness comes, and it comes to us all. Friend, I would like us to turn to Matthew 27, if you would, please. We'll come back to Isaiah 50, and if you don't want to come back, you got it in your bulletin. Matthew 27 and verse 45. I'm going to have you only turn to two texts. This is for all of you, and one or two of you will understand what I'm saying. I have decided I am canceling all early Saturday mornings. My wife understands. And one other person gets it. I'm counseling for the rest of my life all early Saturday mornings. You say, why? Because the worst 2 days of my adult life have happened on early Saturday mornings. And most of you are like, huh? Yeah. By the way, I can't counsel them, can I? I can't manage the darkness. Matthew 27, verse 45. Friends, this is talking about literal darkness. This is about the Lord Jesus. And I want to say this to you. If the Lord Jesus experienced physical darkness, and may I say this, much more importantly, metaphorical darkness of the worst kind, I think we might experience some too. Matthew 27:45, the Lord Jesus is on the cross. This is usually Polish to most people because they're not paying attention. Now from the sixth hour. What is the sixth hour? Everyone look at me. They start at 6 a.m. The sixth hour is noon. Got it? Goes on. There was darkness, physical dark. Could you imagine? It's pitch black outside at noon. And that darkness lasted from noon until 3 p.m., the ninth hour. So the cross, you think it got people's attention? All of a sudden, Jesus is being crucified. He did it willingly. He gave himself up. And in the very midst of that, pitch black, in the daytime, at noon, well, the greater darkness, he was going to suffer in the next verse. This is the greatest darkness of all. And Atan, you said this morning, you used the word hell, which is true. Can I say this? The greatest darkness is this when it happens to a person forever. The Son of God suffered for our sins and experienced, as only he, the second person of the Trinity, could, the darkness for man's sin. It says, in about the ninth hour, 3 p.m., Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli. El is just a Hebrew word for God, one of them. Eli, my God, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friend, look at me, please. I love you. You're my church family. If you think somehow you're going to escape, no, you're not going to experience what Jesus did. He experienced blackness and darkness for our sins. But we're not going to escape this totally in life. The darkness comes. It comes to us all. Number three, you can look at your notes. You can go back to Isaiah 50. I'm just going to mention point three. It's not the sermon. It's just mentioned because it's not part of the text. It's broader. Number three, the darkness comes in many forms and for many reasons. You see, the problem is darkness doesn't have one look. It has many different things. Loss, failure, struggles, problems, marriages. Can I say this? In this room, I guarantee you there are parents that have children doing wrong, and it breaks their parents' hearts every day. There's all kinds of darkness. I'm not going to focus on that. Number four, let's read the text again. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Obey there is the word Shema in Greek. I mean Hebrew. It's the word to hear, but with the idea of hearing to obey. The New Testament has akouo, which means I hear, or hupakouo, which means I not only hear, but I also obey. So here is a person that fears the Lord, obeys the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and has no light. The darkness comes. It comes to us all. It comes in many forms and for many reasons. Number four, the darkness comes and might be total darkness and hath no light. You can't see anything. Now, to make this a little bit more kind, God is very good to me and us. Darkness normally dissipates or goes away. Light normally comes. The dawn comes normally. Your eyes adjust to less light. The sun does shine again. But in some cases, the darkness comes. And boy, it comes in total darkness. No light at all. Can I say this? I read years ago, guy went down this, how long can you live without eating? Well, it's according to how you are. Mutia, she has to eat every 37 seconds. Me, I could probably eat every 37 days. It varies, yes? How long can you live without fluids? A lot less. How long can you live without air, oxygen? As long as you can breathe or hold your breath, right? So for most of us, not very long. I don't know that this is totally true, but I think it is. He said this, there's only one thing you can live with less than all of those. You cannot live without hope. And friend, the darkness sometimes can be so dark, you cannot see hope, a way forward. We're going to get to the end of this. The darkness comes. It comes to us all. It comes in many forms and in for many reasons. It comes, the darkness comes, and sometimes it's total darkness. Now, I've only experienced total darkness in one place. Somebody raise their hand and tell me where you experienced total darkness. Daughter? In a cave. Most of the time, if you do a tour in America of a cave, this is what they do. They take you down there. And I like caves because they're my weather. 50-something degree. Oh, man, I'm doing good at 55, 56. You get down there, and always they do the same thing. Now we want to show you what it And I've done it many times in many different caves. The Mark Twain Cave over in Hannibal, Missouri. The caves down in southern northern Kentucky, southern Indiana, all those caves. They take you in there and they said, stand still. And they turn the lights off. How much can you see? And I've done it every time. And you see, you say, well, your eyes adjust. Now, I have experienced, now this is going to be funny. One time, and by the way, by the grace of God, I never want to experience it again, ever, ever, ever. I have experienced a whiteout one time. And ladies, forgive me, a whiteout's when it snows and all you see is white. And I was on a, well, I'll give you the story. Pastor Malone, my good friend, and I were driving to Philadelphia in the winter. And we were driving through that dreaded state called Pennsylvania. And Pennsylvania, you know, Pennsylvania is the opposite of Illinois. Illinois is long like this, not so long, you know. Pennsylvania is Illinois on its side. So if you drive from Pittsburgh to Philly, you go end to end. And we're driving to Philadelphia, far side on the East Coast, and it's winter. And I don't know the roads. It's been too long. All I remember is we're driving down the road. It starts to snow, and we enter a tunnel. You know the tunnels? We go through the first tunnel. The tunnel's good, by the way. Lights, bright. And we get out of that tunnel. Can I say this? Have you been in a white? Tim, have you ever been in a whiteout? Do you have whiteouts in Papua New Guinea? I'm thinking not. All I know is a whiteout is when all you see is, it's just like darkness. You see, but you don't see anything. You just see snow. And here's the problem. I remember looking, and by the way, before that I drove to Pennsylvania. Somewhere right around Pennsylvania, he took over because he said this. He even told me, if you call him today, he would tell you, I'll never ride with Pastor Warren again. You say, bad driving? No, 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 no. I prefer the temperature in a car to be 55 to about 60. He prefers the temperature in a car to be 80. So no joke, when I was driving, I took my coat off. I just had my shirt on. I'm sitting in the front. It's nice. It's probably 60 degrees. He got in the back of the van with a parka, pulled it up, and he's freezing to death in the back of the van. He said, I'll never ride. He says, you're an Eskimo. He picked up in Pennsylvania. We drove through. Sister, you know where the tunnels are probably. I don't remember. But we drove through the first tunnel, and when we got out, it was white out. Look at me. You can't see, but here's, you got a problem. You say, well, why don't you just pull over? The people behind you can't see either. So the only thing you do is, I still remember, I'm not even driving. You have your eyes like it, and you're trying to see. And after a while, I realized I was tensing up in my whole body because I'm trying to see a way forward. He's driving, and I'm trying to keep him on the road. There's snow on the road, so you can't see the road. The snow's coming at you. We couldn't see anything. We drove and drove. We came to the second tunnel. Sister, are there three of those? Are there three tunnels? I think so. If I'm not right, please don't write me a letter, okay? All I know is we drove. Let me ask you, have you ever done that for an hour or two where you can't see? And I kept thinking, maybe we'll see a place to pull over. We couldn't see a place to pull over. It was in the mountains or kind of mountainous area, and we just kept driving. And I kept thinking, surely we're going to find a place to pull over. But we never saw anything. We just kept going. And I was so stressed out that sometime in the thing, I just had to go. Because I was tensing up all over, and I'm not driving. He's doing a good job. All I know is I think it was the last tunnel. Have you ever been happy to go through a tunnel in a mountain? We got to the last tunnel, and it had lights. And I almost think, there's no place to park in the tunnel. But I said, just, you know, and we come to the other side, and thank God it had stopped snowing on the other side. And that was the most miserable time of, look at me, darkness that I've ever driven in. Think, and by the way, what happens during those times? People get killed. Why? Because somebody decides to stop. Look back at the text, please. I want to conclude this sermon this morning in a simple way. I have said the darkness comes. Are we all in agreement?
Yes.
You know, I mean, in your life, but not in your life, right? You're too young. You're too cool. You're too spiritual, right? Doesn't happen to you. Secondly, it comes to us all. Thirdly, comes in many forms, which I'm not going to discuss, and in many for many reasons, which I'm not going to discuss. Number four, the darkness comes, and sometimes it's total darkness. Well, let's read the text and find out what the Lord tells us through Isaiah to do. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him do what? Trust in the name of the Lord. That's not magic talk, friend. We've got to trust the someone. Why would we trust the Lord? Why would that be significant? Let him, and by the way, these two phrases mean the same thing. It's parallelism. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay or lean or rely upon his God. Number five, here's the reason why we can trust. Here's the reason why we can rely or lean upon the Lord. Number five, because the darkness, it's not darkness to him. Turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to read verses. We don't have time to look at all the verses. I'm going to have you read my favorite verse on the subject. Actually, a few from Daniel 2. Look at Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to start at another place. Friend, my problem when Pastor Malone was driving and I'm writing, he's a great driver. That wasn't the issue. Look at me. My problem was he couldn't see any more than I could see. So I couldn't put, I'm sorry, not that I could do anything. I'm in the passenger seat. I'm trying to drive the car, you know, trying to look. I don't think it helped him. But the point being is he couldn't see, I couldn't see. Why do you trust the Lord? Why would I trust in the name of the Lord? Why would I rely on and lean upon or and stay upon our God? Why would I do that? Well, because the darkness is not darkness to him. In Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn here. I'm going to read if you want to write. Deuteronomy 5:22. These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the midst of the fire, and of the cloud and of the thick darkness, with a great voice, and he added no more, and he wrote them in two tables of stone, and delivered them unto me. And it came to pass, when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, God speaks and gave the Ten Commandments out of the darkness. 2 Samuel 22, this is also found in Psalm 18, verse 10 says this, he bowed the heavens also, and he came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he, God, made darkness his pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds as of the sky. My friend, why do we trust him? Because he speaks out of the darkness. He has darkness under his feet, so to speak. 1 Kings 8, verse 12, in the great prayer that Solomon has. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. Isaiah 9, verse 2, a beautiful text says, the people that walked in darkness have seen great light. Isaiah 42:16 says, and I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them. Can I say this? Everyone look at me. I love the people in this room. I trust some people in this room implicitly. My friend Mike Hall, I've known him for far too long. I trust him. Pastor Coat, Dada, Jim, Cliffy, and lots of people. Look at me. But none of them can see any more than I can see. You don't say, well, you trust him because he has the vision. No. The Lord has darkness under his feet. The Lord speaks out of the darkness. The Lord turns the darkness to light. That's the reason we trust him. The darkness is not darkness to the Lord. Isaiah 45, verse 3 is one of those great texts. It's written a prophecy to Cyrus the Great. But the Lord says about Cyrus the Great, the Persian emperor that will come in the future, I will give thee the treasures of darkness, and hidden riches of secret places. Isaiah 45, verse 7 says, I form the light and I create darkness, God says. I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Daniel 2, verse 19. By the way, now we have Daniel. It's a pretty tough time. Life and death, no games. No outsmarting, no outrunning, no outplaying, no out whatever. And he and his friends come before the Lord to pour out their hearts. Daniel 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and he setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. How about this? He knoweth what is in the darkness. And light dwelleth with him. Look at me. What are you going to do? Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get some more insurance because insurance is going to protect me. Nothing can protect you from the darkness. The darkness is going to come. It's going to come to us all. Sadly, it's going to come in various forms and for various reasons. Sometimes the darkness comes in its total darkness. But friends, the darkness, what do you do? Well, it's not like you're going to outsmart somebody. Can I say this to you? If you're not a Christian here this morning, you're just playing games because you're thinking I'm more macho. Can I say this? Mom, your son was, I said it, he was a macho guy. You know, strong, athletic. Now, see, we're worried about Brian. You know, I miss Brian already. That's not my point. My point is Brian's with the Lord. He's better off than we are right now. But how did that happen to him? There are people in this room that think you're too smart, too much money, too much this, you're cool, you're young. None of that's going to protect you. Friends, when you get saved, and for the rest of your life, your hope, your trust is in the Lord. Why? I love that text. He knows. Can you imagine you're looking around, you can't see a thing, but somebody else has some good Navy SEAL night vision goggles on, and they can see. Can I say this? Whatever darkness you walk through, he knows what's in the darkness. He now he knows what's in the darkness. Exodus and Deuteronomy says he speaks out of the darkness. Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel says he walks upon the darkness. Darkness is not dark to him. I hope we know that. God moves in a mysterious way. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. I loved, ladies, the song that the one group sang about courage yesterday. I'm thinking, of course, if there's a God that knows what's in the darkness, speaks out of the darkness, walks on the darkness, well, you can have courage. If there isn't, courage is whistling in the dark. It doesn't matter. But we can take courage if we know him and we trust him and we rely on him. Yes. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err, and scan his work in vain. What's God doing? Oh, shut up. You don't know what's in the darkness. He does. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay, rely, lean upon his God. The darkness comes, it's going to. It comes to us all. It comes in many forms and for many reasons. It comes in sometimes as total darkness, but it's never darkness to the Lord. Trust and rely. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Seal these precious truths to our life. Yes, I cannot convince people that trust in their money that their money won't do the trick. Folks that trust in their machoism in their youth, I can't convince them. People that have never experienced darkness, I can't even convince them any's coming. But the darkness comes to us all. But thank God the darkness is not dark for you. Seal these truths to our hearts today. Let us trust in the name of the Lord and stay, rely, lean upon our God. In Jesus' name.